welcome to the broadcast. Today we continue in our second message on understanding apostasy. In our previous message, we've seen that apostasy is not a position. Apostasy is a process. It's the process of falling. Now, when the Bible talks about falling, it's using it metaphorically. It's not talking about falling physically, but falling spiritually. And falling is a downward process. And what it means is, am I going downward from what I really used to believe? If I believe the scriptures, and now because of the pressures of the age, I am going away from those things, then I am guilty of apostasy. And so we should not be taking and pointing the finger at those apostates over there or over there, or who we think are apostates. Apostasy is the process of us who are sincere Christians falling for something we shouldn't fall for. We're going to be looking at it in more detail, much more detail. But before we do, we're going to listen to a message in song. And while we're listening to this message, I want to challenge you to download the notes. If you go to our website, fairhavensbaptist.net, you can see it there on the first page. It'll take you to the notes. For this second part in this series, there's two sets of notes. There's some notes there, and there's also a chart. If you click on those, you can download them and get much more out of this study as we go through this series on understanding apostasy. But as you're downloading those messages or those notes, listen to very carefully. Make this your prayer. Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me.
Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee, ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me, Spirit divine. Ready, my God, thy will to see.
If you have the notes, you'll see there on page number 1 on understanding apostasy, the starting place of apostasy. Where does apostasy, or this falling away, this going away from what we used to believe, where does it start? It's very important to understand that when God created us at the very beginning, he said, "Let us make man in our image." I heard that. I was only 12 years old when I was saved, and I read that. Of course, it's right at the beginning of the Bible. And I thought, as a 12-year-old boy, who is he talking to? Let us make man in our image. Well, obviously, God is a Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so they said, let us make man in our image. And when he made us in his image, he made us a body, a soul, and a spirit. Now, it's interesting that we usually always hear about us as a Trinity in that order, body, soul, and spirit, but that is exactly backwards as to how the Bible puts it. And we get a lot of things backwards as to how the Bible puts it, but this is one of them. The Bible doesn't talk about the body, soul, and spirit. It talks about the spirit, soul, and body in that order. That's 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Paul said, I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless under the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice it puts spirit first, soul second, and body third. And so the starting place for apostasy is in the soul. Apostasy doesn't start in my body. It doesn't start in my finger or my foot. It starts in my mind, my will, or my emotions in that area. Now, the body has basically 5 vital organs: the brain, which is the control center, the heart, which pumps the blood, which where the life is. If you have a heart attack, you stop living. The life is in the blood, the Bible says. And then we have the kidneys, which gets rid of all the waste material, and the liver, which filters the waste, and the lungs, which where we do our breathing. 5 basic organs in the body. The body has millions of cells. In fact, it has 100 trillion cells in the body. We breathe on the average of 20,000 breaths a day. And just in the brain alone, there's over 100 billion nerve cells. And somebody wants me to believe that we all came from a piece of seaweed. How stupid is that? Well, we're looking at the body, and then we're looking at the soul. Now, the soul, you've got 3 basic areas, and that is the mind, the will, and the emotions. The mind, of course, is the control center. It is what dictates what we're going to do. The will has to do with our desires, and the emotions, according to the dictionary, is a state of the mind or of our thinking as a result of circumstances which comes along. Now the spirit, and this is important, we not only have a body and we not only have a soul, but we have a spirit. Romans 8:16 says the spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit. Now, that word itself has been translated himself 58 times. The spirit is not an it. The spirit is a person. And Jesus said in John 16:13, when he, the spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He will guide you. So the Holy Spirit will speak to our spirit. He doesn't speak to our mind. There's not enough there for him to get any kind of a relationship with. He doesn't speak to our will or our emotions. The Spirit speaks to our spirit. In turn, our spirit should dictate to our mind, which in turn will determine our will, and it'll determine our emotions. And so the starting place of apostasy is in the soul. We read in 2 Timothy 4:3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Now, that word lust, we think of something that's really bad or immoral. It has been translated desires three times. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own desires shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And so we're going to have to decide whether I want my will or whether I want God's will to determine what I'm going to do about this situation, these circumstances, which will control our emotions. What we want is for the Holy Spirit to control our emotions. And so the soul has to do with the mind, the will, and the emotions. The will is basically what are the desires. The emotion is the state of the mind or our thinking as a result of the circumstances, and a circumstance is an event that causes a reaction. And so we have a lot of circumstances today in this age of apostasy. What am I going to do about this situation? What am I going to do about that situation? We have so many issues confronting us in this age of apostasy. And so 2 Thessalonians 2:3 says, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." Now, back in the Old Testament, you go through it over and over again, and you'll see God's people got away from the Lord, and they repented, and then there was a revival. At the end of the age, what we have here is a falling away, an apostasy, and at the end of this one, we're not going to have a revival. At least the Bible doesn't indicate that we will have a revival. It indicates we will have a rapture. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts or desires shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And so the circumstances, as we said, is an event that causes a reaction. Now, when the circumstances come along, and for us the circumstance might be, well, what about this issue or what about that issue as we go through this age of apostasy? What happens is we have no choice but to choose. We're either going to let the Holy Spirit be in charge, or we're going to let the emotions that we have be in charge, and we want our own desires more than we want the desires of the Lord. Now, Romans 8 and 16 says, "The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit." That's exactly how we can get to the truth of what we should be doing in this age of apostasy. John 16, again, verse 13, "When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth." John 14, 26, "The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. And so, will I let the Holy Spirit teach me? Will I let him show me what is correct in every situation? Or will I make decisions in the emotional area of my mind? If the Holy Spirit is in charge, we read in John chapter 5 and verse 30, the Lord said, "I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me." That ought to be our goal. I seek not my own will, but the will of our Father which has sent me. I've mentioned before that I've been going through some situations in the last couple of years. They've been very trying. And the situations I am at the point right now, as you listen to this broadcast, I have never, ever been as disappointed as I am right now. I'm very disappointed. I'm disappointed in circumstances. I'm disappointed in people. I am disappointed in a lot of situations that are going on right now. Now, having said that, because of the grace of God, and only because of the grace of God, I am not even a little bit discouraged. I am not discouraged. I remember when I was a teenager, just shortly after I got saved, we were in church and we were singing this little chorus, "My Father planned it all. What though the way may be lonely and dark the shadows fall, I know where'er it leadeth, my Father planned it all. I sing through the shades and the sunshine, I'll trust him whatever befall. I sing because I cannot be silent, my Father planned it all." Also, when I was very young in the Lord, I came across a quote by Alan Redpath. I'll quote it to you. We've been talking about circumstances, and circumstances will dictate to our emotions. This quote, worth listening to: there is nothing, no circumstances, no trouble, no testing that can ever touch me until, first of all, it has gone past God, past Christ, through to me. If it has come that far, it has come with a purpose which I may not understand at the moment, but if I refuse to become panicky, as I lift up my eyes to Him, and as I accept it as coming from the throne of God for some great purpose of blessing to my heart, no sorrow will ever disturb me, no trial will ever disarm me, no circumstance will cause me to fret, for I will rest in the joy of what my Lord is. Listen to this message and song once again. Make it your prayer. Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me.
Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee, ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me. Spirit divine. God, thy will to see. Oh,